chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Good morning, Good News Church. Good morning, Real Life Church. We're so privileged to be joined by Pastors Reggie and Abelsa Stutzman. So we are here today to hear a message from them, a little bit in the ways of background, but I won't do it justice. So please do take the time to speak with them after service and get to know them and get to speak with them. Pastor Reggie is somebody that, you know, we had known previously. You know, I believe he had studied with Pastor John. It was Greek, yeah. At NIAC, and he had been in the city for quite some time. He's founded a church, Real Life Church, in the Bronx, and he has a nonprofit, by the way, it's named the Prodigal Center. And it's a food pantry that distributes food to people in need every Tuesday. He's been doing that for many, many years. And prior to that, he was a director at the Bowery Mission. He's come and partnered with us before, and we've also come, I think, a couple of times to serve at his church as well. But we're very, very happy that he's here to give us today's message. So please join me in welcoming him here.
I heard that woo. God is good? Hey, I'm glad you're with me. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I'm so glad, we're so glad to be here this morning. And it took us a half hour to get from this place called the Bronx. And we're happy to be here. And just excited to see what God is doing among you and among us as believers, that God is still on the move. Yeah. Amen? Amen? I work better when you talk back to me. Just don't. But, you know, I'm so grateful for so many times, even that time of reflection of just repenting, thanking God that he's with us, and knowing that we are a part of something much bigger than this. Amen? We're part of the body of Christ. And so the text this morning that was read already from 1 Peter is where I'm going to jump from. And if I would title the message, it would be the what, the who, and the where. The what, the who, and the where. And Peter is writing this exceptional letter in a way of encouraging the believers as we ought to be encouraged. We're living in very challenging times, aren't we? Can I get an amen? Amen. challenging with a cap. It is very hard to navigate the times that we're living in, whether globally or internally. We're dealing with things that we never thought we had to before. But God is with us, and he never leaves us nor forsakes us, and all we have to do is keep believing and trusting in him and put our hope in him. And so the way I like to just go about these verses, verse 3 through 9, is just cut up some things here to help us to better understand what the Lord is saying to us. Because I believe that not only, obviously, that Scripture is perfect, right, but is also applicable. And then no matter what we read, we can ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and he will help us to apply every part of Scripture into our lives. So in the very beginning of these verses that was read already, but for my own mental sake and so that I'm good on my own line in my head, I'm going to be reading them as well, just so I'm with it as well. Is that okay? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In that first beginning of this first beginning of Peter's writings, we find the what. The what that we need to know in our Christian walk is the mercy of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for mercy. There is an old study of the word mercy that really means to stoop down. To stoop down. And we find in different portions of Scripture that we'll get to in a minute of how incredible it is that God, as mighty and big and awesome as God is, that he would actually stoop down to us. That he is high and lofty, but he is also merciful and kind and benevolent to us. The other thing we're going to look at is the who. Because it says that he writes here that he has caused us to be what? Born again. And again, I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. That we are a part of something much larger than just us in this room. And even sometimes we wonder, well, why is that even important? Well, it's important because we think that we have our own little issues or we're going through different challenges and stuff. Let me tell you, when we walked in and saw the risers and no TV and all of that, we get it. Because we planted in the South Bronx and we were in a theater and we had to clean up beer cans and this and that before having church. We never knew what we walked into. And when you realize that there are other people who are along the same road or journey or things that you're going through, even not even just in church, right, but just your own personal issues. How many have issues? Thank you. We all have issues, don't we? And when we realize that we're not alone, that we're struggling in different areas, or that we're a part of a bigger family like we are the body of Christ, and we realize that it wasn't just for me, but for a much larger group of people. Can't you wait? I can't wait to get to heaven, right? Where we are a part of just hundreds of millions and billions of people who have been saved by the grace of God. We're a part of the who. And the last part that just to expose and then unpack is that the where. So we have the what is the mercy, the who is us, and the where is being born again. That being born again is actually a journey, right? That we are on this journey of following Christ. And there are days that we have that we feel very strong and very close to the Lord. Have you had moments like that? And then there are other moments where you feel like you are far from God. Anybody have moments like that? Where you pray and it feels like your prayers hit the ceiling and they fall back down. Like, where is God? You know, you feel like you're going through certain situation or so forth. And you wonder, you know, God, do you even care? And yet we are being born again. Or I even like to say we are borning again. In other words, we're in a process, but it's a journey, but it's also a destination. And then Peter talks about how we are then moving towards something so great that we need today, and that is experiencing a living hope. So those are the three things that I want to talk about, the what, the who, the where, and how does this apply to our lives today? So first of all, God is full of mercy. And aren't you glad that he is a mercy-filled God? I love how Psalm 113, verses 5 and 6 says, "Who is like the Lord, our God who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and on the earth? He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes." Can I read that again? It says, Psalm 113, 5 and 6, "Who is like the Lord, our God who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and on the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes." What a depiction of the mercy of God, that he is high and lofty, he is over all, and yet he looks to you and I, who really are the poor and needy, aren't we? We think so many times that the poor and needy are X, Y, and Z. But Jesus said that we are all poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We are in need of God, aren't we? Amen? I told you I'd do better when you talk back to me. We're in need of God. And every moment, whether it's we have three grown children, 31, 23, and 20. So we've been there, done that. And we're still been there, done that. I need God in my life. I need him to be a good husband. I need him to be in every moment of my life. And I want more of him. And I need God to have mercy on me. How about you? That we need God to help us, to lead us, to guide us, all those beautiful things. But we also need God to correct us, right? We need God to challenge us. We even need God to rebuke us. Because as Scripture says in Hebrews 12, that if we don't allow the discipline of the Lord, then we can't even be children to God. We need him in our life every single day. I love how Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 7 says, "He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." That verse, those verses mesh so beautifully in what our text is today. And even today is celebrated in the Pentecostal church of being Pentecost Sunday, marking of being the disciples being together in the upper room and the Holy Spirit being poured out. We need a fresh pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We need to know that God is not only with us, but we need his pouring every single day, where we feel the presence of God. We experience the presence of God. We know that he is pouring out to us. And I love how Titus says, "whom he poured out on us richly." Isn't it awesome that God doesn't just give us a couple drabs, a couple, you know, dips, but he pours richly among us? You know, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to know that he is with us and in us and pouring out upon us richly through Jesus Christ. All of this is all about God pouring out his mercy for you and I. That we being lowly creatures, Scripture even says we're like grass, that we're up one day and gone the rest. You know, it's just we need God's mercy in our life every single day. We need his mercy in ways that, man, God, I messed up. Lord, would you pour out your Holy Spirit? Would you show me mercy today? And he is rich in mercy, as the writer of Ephesians says. He is so bountiful in being merciful to us. And as I said, you know, we get to be a part of this. It's not some other group or somebody down, but us right here in this room right now, that he did it for us. We are the who. We are a part of something bigger It's the body of Christ. I've been able to be in different parts of Africa over the years, been in Russia on mission trips, Israel, and it's just so incredible. It's so wonderful to be here with you, because there's something so incredible about how when God's people come together, it goes beyond race, ethnicity, gender, experience, age. I mean, we're all a part of the body of Christ. That's why I love to have all the kids here, because they too are a part of the body of Christ. Amen? That it's not about them and not us or this and that, that we all, if you believe in Jesus Christ, we are a part of the body of Christ. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, but now, by the grace you have been saved, you have received the free gift of grace." It's for all of us. And that's why we've got to realize that Jesus came to die on the cross for all, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, aren't you glad that you're a whosoever? And that it's not about, you know, this group or that group. If we just believe on him, believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be what? Saved. We're a part of it. And where are we going with all this? We're going to a place, a destination. I don't know about you, but I like to know where we're going, right? I don't want to just be floating around. Or you know, when we were on a road trip with the kids, they would always say, "What? Are we there yet?" Right? I mean, there's something that is almost intuitive that it's like, are we there yet? Did we meet our final destination? Did we get where we belong? And I want to tell you that when you are a part of the body of Christ and you experience and you know the mercy of God working in your life, it's not just for a blasé existence. But it's for God to take you somewhere. And one of the things that I appreciate most about God is that he's always taking us somewhere, whether to higher heights or deeper depths or a richer relationship with him. There's nothing mundane about serving God, right? When you are really serving him, it's actually exciting. There might be moments where you're like, "Are you really sure, God?" Within the year, I don't know how, I know how, but I don't know how it happened, but we were able to buy a house in the Bronx. Hello. Hello. And yeah, there are things that we were able to piece together, but every morning that I wake up, I think, "God, how did you do this? Are we really here?" And you know, when you are on a walk with God, he wants to do glorious things for you. He's not a boring God. He's not anything mundane that, oh, ho-hum, you know. But it's exciting to serve the Lord. I've been to places that I never thought I would ever be. I was born and raised in Minnesota. I never thought that I would be pastoring in New York City. Are you kidding me? You know, and people think that, you know, and I've just been following the Lord. Never thought that I would marry the most beautiful woman in New York City. Sorry, but I did. I never thought that I would be where I'm at, because it was just saying yes to God. I remember years ago at the Bible school that we went to, Elam Bible Institute in Rochester, New York area, that the president at the time would always say, "You never know where your yes will take you." Because when you say yes to God, he wants to take you to places you've never been before. Right? And the place, and all saying that, is he wants to take you to a richer, fuller relationship with him. And what Peter is also saying here is that he wants to take you to a place where you are born again. Guys, we should be the most fulfilled, happiest people in New York City. Right? When we read the text. But are we? No. You said it, Dave. Because we're so distracted by the things of this world, the cares of this world. We've got to learn that we need to throw off the weights and the cares of this world. It is challenging because we feel the weight of it every single day. And not even just, you know, big things, internal things, right? Whether it's discouragement or fear or depression, anxiety, all the things that we've been feeling since COVID, really, in all reality, things have been brought to our attention that we never even thought were really within us all along. There are things that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis that we need to be challenged by the Word of God that says to cast all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. And so we need to also hear what Peter is saying here, that our destination is not just in the by and by, but is also in today. Because he says so plainly that we are then called to having a living hope burning within us. That no matter what is going on in the war or in the wars to come or in this or in that or finances or government or all the craziness, there's something deep within our being that says, I have a living hope. I have a hope inside of me that says, no matter what, He's in me. And greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. And because of my living hope that resides in me, it's not for tomorrow, not just in tomorrow, but it's in right now. It's in the right now. You're also called to understand that we are new creations. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. To have this fresh understanding, fresh revelation that we have a living hope inside of us. We are a new creation in Christ. We're born again. We have a living hope, and His name is Jesus. Goes beyond the hope of, you know, one day I'll do this, or one day I'll do that, or maybe I'll have this, or maybe I'll have that. I mean, the other day I was watching, there's a really good program on Netflix called, I forgot. But it's all about these sports guys who had all this wealth, and then they lost it all. And I was, you know, I knew what I was speaking today, and then watching that, I love how God works, because He always confirms something to you. Even in the beginning words, this message was confirmed. But in watching that, man, I forget the title of it, but it was just how these 20-year-olds have a multi-million dollar contract, and yet 2 years out, they've lost it all. Because their hope was only in their contract, only in the millions of dollars that they would have, and yet there was nothing on the inside of them. Do you understand my illustration as poorly as it was given? The world has so much, quote, hope in what they have, but we have hope in who we have. It's not how much is in our bank account. It's not the car that we drive or the house that we live in. Or the job that we have. It's in who we have. Because if tomorrow would be a bad day and we lose it all, we still have that living hope named Jesus living inside of us. And Peter continues to say that it's not a dead hope. It's not a stagnant hope. It's a living hope because He lives. There's an old song that says, because He lives, I can what? Face tomorrow. And we all know that tomorrow is Monday. Lest I remind you. But you know, Monday can be the greatest day. Right? Yeah. Because it's not about, yes. It's not about in what we will face tomorrow or what could come. Because we don't know what the next 5 minutes could hold. Many, many years ago, I was on a mission trip in Mexico, and we were ordaining pastors, and there was about five different young men who were being ordained into the ministry, and their father was there as well. And each son stood and gave a testimony of their life and so forth, and then they were going to be ordained into the ministry. This was incredible what happened. Five of them stood, each one gave a testimony of their walk with God and how they came into the ministry and so forth. The youngest son stood up, did the same thing. As soon as he sat down, the father, who was still seated on the stage, dropped his bottom jaw, and nobody really realized what was going on until we realized what was going on. As soon as his youngest son gave a declaration and was ordained into ministry, his father died on the stage. It was unbelievable that he saw all five of his sons being ordained into the ministry, but as soon as his youngest son, it was unbelievable. I'll never forget them taking him out on a stretcher, and we learned, you know, after that moment that he had passed away on the stage. I mean, life is incredible, isn't it? And you never know what could transpire in the minutes ahead of us. We don't know. I mean, statistically, and years ago, this was the statistic that it takes one paycheck to be away from being houseless. I mean, in the economy that we live in, we feel like we're holding on by strings that are just growing thinner and thinner. And yet, our living hope is not in what we have, but in who we have. Paul Peter continues to write, "That is more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire. May it be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation that it's in not what I have, but in who I have, Jesus Christ living in me. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you don't see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining to the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." It all works together. So, I just want to encourage you today that you have something greater on the inside of you, and his name is Jesus. And he is with you. And no matter what is going on in our world today, whatever crisis we face or will face, we're a part of something bigger. We're part of the body of Christ that has been washed whiter than snow by the blood of Jesus. We are made whole by him and him alone. Our salvation is not in who will the next president be, but in who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the government will be upon his shoulders. I'm so glad. When I reflect on my life, yeah, I make mistakes. Don't we all? But by the grace of God and his mercy, that he is so kind and benevolent to us, that he pours his mercy out to us continually every single day. That his mercy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Years ago, I put it this way, that while we're sleeping, can you imagine this for a moment? That while you're asleep, God is creating mercy for you. That when you wake up to new mercy, because they're new every morning. No matter what you've done in the past or what you did 5 minutes ago, and you could just obtain his sweet mercy, his rich mercy, by our God who is so mighty and omnipotent and all that God is, yet he looks down upon us with such kindness and compassion and says, "I care about you." Aren't you glad that God cares about you? That there are moments that in my own life I've felt like nobody cares. Anybody ever been there? One hand. I saw your hand. Two hands. I can auction it off very easily because we've all been there. But God cares about us. He knows right where we're at. He stoops down from heaven. He gives us new mercy every day. It's for you and I who confess him as Lord and Savior. He pours out richly his Holy Spirit, and he says, I want to take you to a place full of my unending hope, living hope for you right here and right now. Amen. Would you close your eyes with me this morning? And so thankful to be here with you. So glad that God is at work at Good News. And what an amazing moment it is, really, for me that, yeah, we're in a different space, but we could really say that we have been colleagues and friends and part of the body for many, many years. And that God would bring us together this morning for such a time as this. And how good God is, no matter how we got here individually, that we could say, Lord, you've been faithful all along. That you have been so kind and so compassionate to me, to my family, to my kids. And that God has a plan. And it's a good plan. And all we have to do is just say, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am, and in the crisis or the trial that I'm facing, because as Peter even says, that our faith would be tested by various trials. They would be limited for a limited time offer, but sometimes the trials that we face are so challenging and so hard. Maybe you're in this room today and you feel like you're in a trial. You're in a dark moment, a dark space. I want to just tell you that God is with you. Maybe there's things going on in your emotions, maybe at your job, maybe in your marriage or a relationship, that you just wonder, God, I'm just so heavy load, just overwhelmed. He is so good that we could take our burdens and he'll take them off our chest. And he'll say, here I am. I am merciful. I care about you. And I have a place for you to go. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Even though we know that he was saying that in my Father's house there are many mansions and that we will be with him for eternity, yet I still believe that he has a place for us right here at Good News right now. And that place for us is to know that he loves us, cares about us, that he's rich in mercy. And all we have to do is just say, thank you, Lord. For as Peter says, it is for the result of praising him, the result of glorifying him, and the result of honoring him. So, Lord, we praise you today. We give you the highest praise. And we honor you, Lord. We honor you as like giving a guest the best seat in the house. Lord, we honor you by saying, Lord, would you have my heart? Would you have a seat on my heart? Would you take the throne of my heart? I honor you today by saying, Lord, you are my Lord and my Savior. I honor you. Lord, I glorify you. Too often we have glorified our problems, we've glorified our issues, we've glorified the problems. Today we glorify you. We say Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus reigns. Lord, reveal more of you in us. Reveal your glory. Reveal your kindness. Reveal who you want to be fuller in our lives. that we would see you high and lifted up, as Isaiah wrote in chapter 6. We would see you in our world today. We would see you in our homes. We would see you in our church. We would see you in this city, high and lifted up. And your train fills the temple. The angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Give us a fresh revelation of who you are. I pray your blessing upon Good News Church. Bless every family, every household. Bless our children, our grandchildren. May your presence be in us and go before us this week. May we know that because of you, we have new mercies every day. And because of you, we have a living hope, because the resurrected Jesus lives in our hearts today. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.